Welcome to Gospel Mission Church's Message Podcast. We pray that God will meet you in this time with a fresh revelation of His love for you and that you will be challenged to align with the amazing plans that God has waiting for you. Here's this week's message from Pastor Brenton.
Claude kicked us off last week, Easter Sunday, talking about Jesus Christ is resurrected. Woo! Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Amen. And because that is a literal thing that happened in history, it changes everything we live for, everything that we believe, even the way we see different people, it changes. If you read in 2 Corinthians 5, it says this really well. It says, "For Christ's love compels us because we're convinced that one died for all and therefore all died." So we are gripped by this gospel message. We believe that Jesus came and paid for my sins so that I could live with him forever. And now he's reconciled himself to me, and now he wants to love me. That love of that message, and when we're convinced of the gospel, that compels us to do something about it. That compels us to want to share and reach out to everyone around us. And I think when we look at the desire to reach out to others, it's really fueled by the love of God in our life and us understanding of his amazing love for us. Then it says this, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. And so the gospel, what the gospel also does is it changes the reason why we live. This weekend, 45 people are being baptized. Can I hear an amen? That's exciting. We are excited to celebrate resurrection life, right? Because we believe that Christ was the first fruits of the resurrected. And now as they're going down in the baptism tank, they'll stay down until the bubbles stop. And that old life is gone, and we're going to raise them to a new life. That's what's happening, right? And we believe that when they come out of the water, it's symbolizing a raising, a new birth, a new life that they're given. It's not the same life. As a Christian, it's not like I'll read my Bible and try to follow it. It's a total transformation and overhaul of your life. And you live for the King now. So now it says in verse 16, look what else the gospel does. "So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer." The way that you see people, if you're a Christian, is changed forever. You do not see people as just skin and bones. You see their eternal value. You have a kingdom perspective. You put on God's glasses of the way that he sees humanity. And so being a Christian even changes this. The whole entire way that we see other people is different because we are here to love God and love people. Verse 17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here." Do you see this? Again, is not just being a Christian, is not just adapting some beliefs. It is a total overhaul of your life. Have you seen the show Extreme Home Makeover? It's a little old, but move that bus. Anyone? No? Well, they move the bus and then they see the new home, right? This is us. We were broken, we were lost, and now Christ made us new, a new creation. Verse 18, "All this is from God who reconciled us to himself." We're reconciled to God now through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. How many of you are in ministry? If you're a believer, you are in ministry. You've been given the ministry of reconciliation. God doesn't want just reconciliation with you. He wants reconciliation with all people. And now you get entrusted and given this ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. The price for sin has been paid and forgiveness is available for everyone. And he has committed us the message of reconciliation. So we've been given a ministry and a message of reconciliation. And then it says, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors." That means we represent Christ. We are the hands and feet of Jesus. We are God's plan to bring reconciliation. And it later goes on to say, as though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. This is our life now. It is taken and is totally flipped, and we have a new purpose, and we are a new person in Christ Jesus. And now we are ambassadors of Christ. That's the title that you've been given. And I know sometimes I feel like I don't do a good job of that, right? Or I could do a better job of that. And that's where I do have to be humble and say, I'm sorry, I failed to represent who I'm called to represent here on earth. But this is the calling for every single Christian. It's to be radically on mission for Jesus. The resurrection, again, just got things going. And right now, here, what year is it? 2025, Gospel Mission Church. Each and every one of you that is a child of God and put your faith in Jesus has been sent by Jesus into this world with this ministry and message. Do you see that? Do you believe that in your bones? I really pray that you do. I want to live like I'm sent. Jesus, to his disciples said, as the Father has sent me, now I'm sending you. And I believe that we're part of that sending. You're part of that sending. And I think sometimes in my own life, I honestly struggle a little bit because I forget my mission and my calling. I forget that I'm sent. Have you ever forgotten that you were sent somewhere? Sometimes with me and my wife, she'll send me downstairs to get something, and I forget. And I go downstairs to grab something, and I'm like, oh, cool. What should I do here? I don't got nothing to do. I guess I'll just watch TV. I don't know. Then later, head back on stairs. Hey, what's up? Oh, did you get that thing that I sent you for? Oh, yeah, okay, I'll go and get it. And it's like something happens in your brain. As soon as you get down there, you're like, why am I here? Oh, man, so many opportunities. What should I do? Head back up. Hey, did you get that thing I sent you for? Ooh, no. I don't want to live my life that way. Church, I don't know how many years I get. I might get 34 years. I might get 8. Hopefully not. I'm 34. I might get 80 years to live like I'm sent, to live on purpose. And Christ has equipped me and given me this ministry, and I want to live like I've been sent with a purpose. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy, soldiers don't get tied up in the affairs of civilian life, for they cannot please their officer who enlisted them. So if you're a soldier, you have an officer, you have commands from that officer, you're a soldier. You're not just living a civilian life. You're not just lollygagging in the market saying, oh, what should I do? You're just having a good time. You're on mission. You've been enlisted. And as a Christian, I don't know if you knew that when you were signing up for Christianity, but you're enlisted by God to preach the gospel. You're sent and equipped by God to do this. And I love the heart of Paul because he said, but my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned to me by the Lord Jesus Christ, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. Paul saw that this was his mission. And he lived his mission no matter where he was. Sometimes he visited churches and strengthened them. And other times he was in prison. Wherever he was, he said, I am called here and I'm going to preach the gospel. And even though he was confined in prison, he said, hey, this is great. This gives me an opportunity to write and encourage the church. And he was even, I believe, being a witness to those that are around him as he was under house arrest. But this is Paul. He had a one-track mind. He knew why he was here. And I think we as Gospel Mission Church need to know why we're here. Need to know why we're in our workplace. Why God has put relationships in our life. Is that on purpose? Is that accident? I believe it's on purpose. And I believe that you're sent. Everywhere that you walk, you are sent. If you want to go on a mission trip, go to work on Monday. Right? Go to work on Monday and say, God, these are the people that you sent me to. And I just remember in my life, I have nothing against mission trips at all. They're great. But I had some frustration because I would go on a mission trip and I would act so sent. And I would go in and I was kind of in another culture where people aren't used to seeing white skin and people would see you like white Jesus, right? They look up to you and you'd be like on fire for God. You'd be praying for everyone, preaching, kissing babies. And then you travel back and you're like, okay, I'm just going to wait till I'm sent again. No, I'm sent here. In the Great Commission, some interpret it as you go. Yes, go into the world, but as you go, make disciples of all nations. We are all sent. Some of us will be sent further away, and some of us won't be sent as far, but we're all sent, all commissioned by Jesus. And so I'm not okay with living a life where I'm not sent everywhere all the time. Because we have a broken world that needs Jesus. You know, if we look at the state of our world, it seems like we're moving away from Christian values and things are getting darker and people are getting more confused. But part of that is an opportunity that the light of Christ will shine brighter in this atmosphere. Do you believe that? And can you open your eyes just to see the opportunities that are everywhere? You know, I think of Lena, who's at, a young lady in this church. And she lives sent everywhere. Like weekly, she gives me testimonies of, hey, I was getting cake mix and someone opened their life to me and I was able to pray for them. I was out in the grocery store and someone said they had a neck pain and I prayed for them and they were healed. Like constantly, my neighbor, my dad, like just testimonies. So what is the case? Does Lena have more good works prepared for her by Christ than us? Lena's a full-time employee in the kingdom of God, but you're getting laid off and you're part-time? No. I think she has her eyes and heart open for humanity. I think she's partnering with the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit wants to do in and through her life, and God is using her in miraculous ways. How many of you want that? I want that. I want to live like I'm sent. And as Jesus walked this earth, I think he did this so beautifully. He lived as he was sent. In John 4, it says, so he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. And now he had to go through Samaria. It's an interesting phrase because Jesus was a Jew, and Jews often would not go through Samaria. They didn't like the Samaritans. The Samaritans had, kind of forsaken their Jewish heritage and married into other cultures and religions. And so usually, actually, they would not go through Samaria. They would be like, let's go around those so we don't have to meet those half-blood people. And it says here, Jesus had to go through Samaria. And as Jesus is walking through Samaria and his disciples are out finding food, he meets this woman at the well. And she is clearly a woman who is probably ashamed of the lifestyle that she's living. That's why a lot of people say that she went to the well at noon. Usually people wouldn't go because it would be incredibly hot. She was probably there trying to avoid people. And Jesus, you know, reveals to this lady that she's living an immoral life, that she's had five husbands. The man she's with now is not her husband. But Jesus offers living water to this lady that I think is thirsty and looking for living water. And if we look on the outside of who this woman is, why would she be interested in this Jewish Messiah as a Samaritan? You know, she's living an immoral life. Why would she want to give her life to God? But she met Jesus and was forever changed. She saw who he was. And I think she was, you know, in a way, in a search for finding fulfillment, I think she was looking in, you know, in the eyes of different men in her life, trying to find at the end that whole Jesus. There's this quote that every man ringing at the door of a brothel is actually looking for God. Again, I think we have a broken world that's looking for Jesus. Right now, you know, we prayed about this at a prayer summit recently. Just the fact that studies show that 65% of people between the ages of 14 and 29 read their horoscopes daily. And of those people, 40% of them believe that the zodiac sign helps them make life decisions. This is what our young people are searching for. They're searching for more. They're searching in the stars for their purpose. And part of me, when I read this, it grieves me because I want them to find faith in Jesus. But part of me says, man, can I introduce them to a man that knows everything about them? Like this woman at the well met. Like if they're literally searching, you know, in horoscopes for direction, for purpose, can they meet Jesus through someone in their life that knows him personally? And I think in our nation right now, actually Alpha Canada did a report in 2024 called Reigniting Hope. Because I love that title, Reigniting Hope, because what they felt in 2021 is that, you know, the church was almost dormant when it came to evangelism, when it came even to things like spiritual hunger. They weren't seeing as much of it. But now they were seeing through doing hundreds and hundreds of interviews, they're seeing a changing of the tide in people searching for God. And this is what just a few of the findings that they found. They found that as they interviewed, you know, a lot of people, they found there's an increased spiritual curiosity. 72% strongly agreed or agreed with that. There's an increased likelihood to enter a church building. 56% strongly agreed or agreed. There's an increased openness towards the Christian gospel message, and 59% of church leaders agreed or strongly agreed with that. I really think that we tried on the clothes, our culture has tried on the clothes of atheism and said, hey, what if we just tear the fabric of all of our Christian values out of this country? Let's see where that leaves us. Well, it's left them broken. It's left them anxious. It's left them with no purpose. And now they're reaching out to the stars to find value. But can the church rise up and tell them about Jesus Christ? Again, this spiritual openness, I think, is an opportunity, but we need to take it. We need to introduce people to Jesus. We need to be the church. And one thing in this Reigniting Hope, this Alpha report, they found that actually the church was also taking on this new attitude towards evangelism, saying, yeah, now is the time that we need to share our faith. The church was aligning with vision more and realizing that it's time that we rise up and be ambassadors of Jesus that we're called to. Can I hear an amen? Amen. And John, let's continue reading this John 4 chapter. It says, just then his disciples returned and were surprised at him talking with a woman, especially a Samaritan woman, right? What are you doing? But no one asked, what do you want or why are you talking with her? Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to town and said to the people, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? She immediately starts inviting people to meet Jesus. I think it's so amazing. She was the first evangelist to Samaria. And they came out of the town and made their way towards him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Then his disciples said, could someone have brought him food? Like, who brought you food? My food, Jesus said, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do we realize that it's food? Jesus was saying, you know, going through Samaria and meeting this woman this day and revealing who I am is food to me. I'm spiritually nourished. And I really think that sometimes in our Christian walk, again, we head downstairs and we're like, oh yeah, what am I doing here? Man, I'm called to be a Christian, but this life is just not fulfilling. We're forgetting our mission. We're forgetting why we're called. And I want to tell you that if you partner with God and partner with the Holy Spirit and do the will of the Father, it's going to be nourishment to you. You're going to wake up Monday and you're going to say, hey, I can actually have a purpose. God actually has a plan for my life. God actually wants to use me and partner with me to reach the people in my life. And so I think sometimes we're malnourished Christians because we're missing our point. Now, I had breakfast with a young adult the other day, and I was encouraged because he was saying, you know, I have such a good life. I have a good job. I have a great family that I love. But I feel discontent because I feel like I'm not stepping into the greater purpose that I was called for. That's awesome. He's a young adult that says, I don't just want to coast in this life. Collect a retirement and then die and live for the here and now. I want to come alive to my greater purpose. And so I think that discontentment was something from the Lord because God did have a part for him. Jesus goes on to say, don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months until harvest? I tell you, open your eyes, look at the fields, they're ripe for harvest. God, open our eyes. Open our eyes. I don't want to walk around blindly with my eyes closed, missing the harvest. Missing the harvest. Missing those that maybe I don't think want to know Jesus, but like the Samaritan woman, she was searching and looking for Jesus. And opportunities are around us every single day. I think Lena is a lady that has her eyes open, and so she sees all of these little things in her life as opportunities to share her faith. I need to be aware of these opportunities in my life. Every day you get opportunities. And sometimes we'll call them inconveniences, right? Oh, why is this person talking to me again? Oh, I have to work with this employee? Ugh. Man, why did I get spam called? The other day I got spam called. Those are not fun. But all of a sudden, it was like a wild divine moment where I think the Holy Spirit set me up. And I said these words to the person. You know what? This is a scam. And I'm actually not 100% true it is, but you know if it's a scam or not. And I believe that you were made by God for more than this. I believe that you were put here for a reason. And you need to repent of this lifestyle. You need to open your Bible and you need to learn about Jesus and give your life to him. Something like that. So I don't. It was just this wild moment. And he responds saying, you know, I don't have a choice. Kind of admits that he's scamming me. And I just said, you know what, I'm calling you to repent, not because I'm trying to bash you. I love you, and God loves you, and he has a plan for your life. Can I pray for you? And you could tell in his voice, he's moved and says, absolutely. I'm able just to pray for this person. Again, it was just this beautiful moment. But I need to open my eyes to see the opportunities. Maybe a spam call is an opportunity, or a scam. It's an opportunity to love people. Doesn't always work like that. I just want to clarify that next time I got a scam call, I was like, all right, here we go. And then they cussed me out. And and then that was it. But I still got to pray for them, right? We don't always know what the result will be. But I want my spiritual eyes open. I don't want to be blind to the Samaritan woman that I meet along the way. I don't want to be blind to the opportunities that God has set out for me to reach people with his love. He has prepared good works for you. Good works for you in advance. Verse 36 says, even now the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so the sower and reaper may be glad together. There's a gladness as we join in the work of evangelism. There's a gladness. Whether you sow a seed in someone's life or whether you reap and they actually come to the Lord, there's a gladness on both parts. And we both rejoice together because it actually doesn't matter. We're all partnered with the same mission. When we share a testimony, it's not like, oh man, no, it's like, yes, come on, this is awesome. And we get to join in the good work that God is doing for us. And God says that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Come on, people, we need to see ourselves as laborers. We need to see ourselves as sent. And we have to remember that our job is to sow and reap. It's not to grow. It's not to transform. No, I hear this all the time of saying, I can't do evangelism. I can't get somebody saved. No, you can't. That's the Holy Spirit's work. You know, the Holy Spirit makes it grow. We, you know, as farmers, how are you gonna help your crops grow this year? You're gonna be like, come on, buddy, you can do it. I believe in you. High five. You know, you're not. You plant and you sow. And then you let nature take its course. And God, it's the Holy Spirit that makes these seeds grow. And so we need to see our job as planters and people that sow seeds, not people that will be able to transform. We need to sow seeds and let the work of the Holy Spirit work. Sow seeds and then pray for their souls, because we need to see a miracle happen for them to come to faith. And again, know our job and know the Holy Spirit's job. And you know what? I can't even sow seeds well without the help of God in my life. Right? Even in my work of sowing seeds, of introducing people to Jesus, of modeling Jesus in my life, I can't do that. So what if my job was really simple? Tell God, I can't do this. God, I don't feel like evangelism is part of my personality, but you're calling me to do it. And you want to do it through my life. So Holy Spirit, help me. Help me, Holy Spirit. I need your help. And the more you rely on prayer, that's really going to get you like so far in evangelism. Just try it. Just try relying on the Holy Spirit, relying on him to do the heavy lifting, relying on him to direct and lead you, relying on him to even have a heart for the people of you around you, relying on him to open your eyes. Just try that for a change. Because again, I hear all the time, I don't know how to do evangelism. The Holy Spirit does, and he's in you. I remember when I played organized hockey for the first time, it was a gong show. I didn't know how to play organized hockey. I played pond hockey, and all you have to do in pond hockey is follow the puck. You know, you're just like a chicken that follows the puck, and that's all you do. And now I'm playing organized hockey, and I was like, I don't know how to do this. But guess what? On my line was the best player on our team. Best player on either team was on my line. So I realized, you know what? I know what I can do. I'll pass him the puck. I'll work really hard, get the puck, give it right to him, defer to him, he knows what he's doing, and then I'm going to park my keister in front of the net, get my stick on the ice, and then all of a sudden the puck will be on my stick and I'll shoot. And I scored some goals. It was pretty cool. But I had no idea what I was doing. But he did. And the more you give your life to the inbreaking of the Holy Spirit in your heart, you let him grab your heart and compel you with the love that he has for those around you. You let him lead you in the words to say to those around you. The more you're going to be like, oh, wow, okay, this is how this works. I don't know what I'm doing, but he does. And he's in me. And church, he's equipped you. The disciples waited in the upper room and they received power to be his witnesses. How many of you would say, I need power to be his witness? I need power to be his witness. I have no idea what I'm doing. I have no idea. I can't get somebody saved. But again, he is in me. So can we get in the game? Don't use the excuse, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm staying out of this. No, we are called to get in the game and represent Christ. Get in the game. Defer to your best player. Surrender to his leading. And get your stick on the ice and give it a shot. Give it a shot, even a weak shot. Sow seeds of truth in people's life. Tell the testimony of what Jesus has done in your life. When someone says, you know, I'm feeling sick today, lay your hands on them and pray for them. And again, I think sometimes this is where, oh, I don't have a good shot. I'm not a good shot, so I'm not even gonna try. No, let the Holy Spirit do the work of conviction. I had a Bible college teacher that came through faith through the worst presentation of the gospel he had ever heard. Yeah, and now he's teaching me. He said one day someone came up and talked about Jesus and gave a track, and he said it was the worst presentation of the gospel he had ever heard. But then he got into his apartment and he was convicted by the Holy Spirit and he gave his life to Christ. And so again, this is where I think sometimes we again say, oh man, I'm not gonna share well. What if I mess this up? Why don't we think, hey, what if the Holy Spirit works through your testimony? What if the Holy Spirit works through your laying on of hands as you pray for that person? What if the Holy Spirit, even if you stutter and stumble through sharing your faith, what if the Holy Spirit works? Again, he's the great evangelist and we want to partner with him. And so I want to invite you just to begin to pray this prayer daily over your life. Because it's going to help us to partner with the work of the Holy Spirit. And this prayer, if you want to bring it up on the screen, if you want to take a picture of this, that's great. It's also in your weekly, but pray this prayer, and I dare you just to see what will happen in your life as the Holy Spirit moves. The prayer is, come, Holy Spirit, fill me with everything I need for my day, and also give me the ability to join in what you're doing around me. Show me your eyes that the harvest is plentiful, where I am. Reveal to me the good works and opportunities that are before me today, and use me today, Lord. Do you know the difference that could be made if we all prayed a prayer like this every day before we entered our workplace? You don't have to pray that exact prayer, but the ultimate sense of it is, God, I can't do this, I need you. Empower me by your Holy Spirit. I have no idea what I'm doing. Give me your love for the people that surround me and help me to see the way you see. Open my eyes to see the harvest. And God, use my feeble attempt to bring people to you. Holy Spirit, I know it's your job, so I just want to partner with you today and thank you that you're inside of me. You're leading me and guiding me. So I'm deferring to you, the best player here, so that I can join in the good work you've called me to do. Amen. Hey, let's stand. I don't know if you knew, but this is actually a commissioning service today. Sometimes people get commissioned as they go out on different trips or as they plant a church. And I don't know if you've ever had a commissioning service for your workplace and your family. So today I'm going to commission you, Gospel Mission Church. I pray that the Holy Spirit would fill you. I pray that the Holy Spirit would give you eyes to see. I pray that the Holy Spirit would give you a heart for this broken world that we live in. Holy Spirit, give us a passion and a heart. God, thank you for entrusting us with the ministry and message of reconciliation. Thank you that we are your ambassadors. And Holy Spirit, we need help to do that. So Holy Spirit, help us to be good at taking your hand so that this world can see you, Lord God. God, I pray that every day we would wake up and we would know that we are sent by you, commissioned by you to love our coworkers, our family, and we'd partner with the work that you're already doing in this world. Holy Spirit, fill us once again with love, with boldness, with grace, with passion, and may we be people that constantly pray, God, I don't know what I'm doing. Help me, Lord, empower me. And thank you that you are with us. You are with us, and you will fill us with power to be your witnesses in Winkler, in Morden, in Altona, and to the ends of the earth. We thank you, God, that you are commissioning us. And this is the mission, it's your mission, and you will equip us to get it done. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If there's anything we can do to help you along in your journey, email prayer@gmchurch.ca. If you'd like to see what's coming up at Gospel Mission Church or learn more about us, visit gmchurch.ca.